We are by default in the domain of darkness. And then when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are delivered from that domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are given new life, eternal life, and death no longer has a hold on us.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, today's broadcast gives us a lot of review.
Yes, it does, Dave, because it's extremely important that we understand the context rightly divided so that we can understand the passage we're just going to begin to scratch the surface of today, which is a passage about Lucifer's life story. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to begin with verse 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, before each and every one of us was saved, and that includes everyone else right now that's not saved, we were and they now are in the domain of darkness. We are born in Adam, in a sense. We have a sin nature. We are by default in the domain of darkness. And then when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are delivered from that domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are given new life, eternal life, and death no longer has a hold on us. And within that, we're told in Scripture how we are to interact, in a sense, with our enemy. The one in whose domain we used to be in is now our enemy, Satan. And we're told that we're to be strengthened in the Lord, as we saw in Ephesians 6. We're to put on the full armor of God. We're to remember the things that God has done in Christ. We're to trust him, and we're to have the word richly dwelling in us, and we are to be praying for one another. We're to submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. We're to be on the alert because we have a adversary that prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We're to resist him firm in the faith. We're to trust the Lord God and believe his word. We're to recognize his schemes. We're to understand how he uses sin to get a foothold in the life of a believer's mind and their heart and their attitudes. We're not to be unforgiving because we're not ignorant of his schemes. And we're not to give him a place by holding on to anger or even irritation before the sun goes down. And so God has explained to us in his word how we are to respond to our foe. But he's also showed us in his word how this foe came about. How did Satan come about? How did this happen? What happened? How did he become who he is? And what is his future? Well, turn with us to Ezekiel 28, and we're going to begin with verse 11. We're going to look at Lucifer's life story. And I believe it's from this life story that we're going to be encouraged that our foe is a defeated foe, our foe is a fallen foe, and our foe is a foe who is forever condemned and will be destroyed in punishment forever. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember that this foe who seems to appear to have much power, and he does right now, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so as we look at this portion on Satan, some people talk about spiritual warfare. The church is keen to use that term. You know, I just think we need to stand firm. We need to trust the Lord. We have a battle going on, but we're not the ones attacking. We're just standing in Jesus Christ. But within that, we need to understand our enemy, and God reveals some passages to help us know and understand who he is. Well, in Ezekiel 28, let me share some of the context. We've been going through the book of Ezekiel, and as you know, the Lord made it clear to his people back in Deuteronomy that if they obeyed, they would be blessed, and if they disobeyed, they'd be cursed. As the Israelites are ready to enter into the land, the Lord reiterated those truths in Deuteronomy 28. And unfortunately, Scripture reveals that Israel continued to disobey God, continued to go its own way. A remnant of believers, but the nation as a whole did not obey the Lord. They were sinful and wicked, and therefore God sent prophets He sent prophets to them, and we have, after the kingdom divided because of Solomon's sin, we have the northern kingdom where the prophets continued to prophesy, to repent, and they didn't, and God took them into exile by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And God continued to point out and alert to the southern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem, that they needed to repent. And yet, repentance was far from them, as we've seen in the book of Ezekiel. And we know in 605 BC, there were the first of three deportations from Jerusalem to Babylon. That's when Nebuchadnezzar, the superpower of the day, took the first set of captives, 605 BC, Daniel and his friends. And then in 597 BC, Jerusalem was again sieged for a short time. Ezekiel and 10,000 others were taken. And then from 588 to 586 BC, there was an 18-month siege that ended in the destruction of the temple, the walls, the city, many people slaughtered, the survivors being taken captive to Babylon. Now, as you know, if you've been with us in our study of Ezekiel, this book is centered around this third and final siege. The first 23 chapters, oracles leading up, 24, the announcement of that siege beginning. And then chapters 25 through 32 are basically prophecies during that siege, and 33 non-prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people in Babylon concerning the sins of those about to be taken captive, about to be brought into God's judgment in Jerusalem. And God has been gracious over and over again through Ezekiel, making it clear, as he did through Jeremiah in Jerusalem, that they needed to repent. That God was a gracious God. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent. But because all souls are his, they should repent and live, because the soul that sins dies. Now, we saw, unfortunately, that repentance was far from Jerusalem. God's people were to be a light to the nations, but they became a wicked example of depravity by their shocking and adulterous actions with their neighbors. In chapter 24, we found out the 18-month siege began, in which Nebuchadnezzar would brutally starve and slaughter the inhabitants of the city. This siege, which would end in the brutal destruction of it and exile of the survivors. And so we came into the second portion of this book, and the Lord began through Ezekiel in chapter 25 to prophesy judgment concerning the nations that surrounded Jerusalem. And he went on a clockwise circle of judgment of those nations, declaring their judgment because of their actions and attitudes towards Israel. And then in chapters 26 and 27, we saw that last nation, Tyre. We saw judgment against them, this great city of commerce, this city out on a rock with its daughter satellite cities on the mainland. And we saw then in chapter 28, judgment on the ruler of Tyre, the leader of Tyre. And today we come to judgment on the power behind the leader of Tyre, ultimately the power behind the world's system. And it's here we will see Lucifer's life story. Now, I've mentioned to you already, and I've alluded to it, and you've seen it as we've studied, were two Tyres. We have one that is a city in Lebanon today. That's not the Tyre that is being spoken of here. It was a fortress city out on an island just off the coast. And it was very prosperous. It was materially wealthy. And within that, we saw that the leader of Tyre was a very wicked man who saw all this prosperity and wealth from his wisdom and gave God no glory, but called out himself as a god. Look at Ezekiel 28:1, because we want to review what we've seen before, because that's the leader of Tyre whom God prophesies against, but then it's going to move to the person behind that, Satan. Verse 1 of chapter 28, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, Thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of gods in the heart of the seas. Yet you are a man and not God, although you make your heart out like the heart of God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself, and have acquired gold and silver for your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade. Now we're going to see some parallels in some of the language here, and we'll point it out later. Parallels in this leader and his pride and his merchandising of his wisdom and stuff, and that made profit for him. His assets became his merchandise, in a sense, in an evil manner. We'll see some parallels later on, okay? So he says here, By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart has been lifted up because of your riches. Verse 6, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you still say, I am a God in the presence of your slayer, although you are a man and not God? In the hands of those who wound you, you will die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. And now we move to our passage where he now doesn't talk to the leader of Tyre, he talks to the king of Tyre, really the power behind. You see, that leader of Tyre, which God spoke of in that way earlier, was the king. But he's called the leader in a sense there. Now we see the real king behind this leader. Verse 11, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, and the workmanship of your settings and your sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub. Notice that word, cherub, who covers. And I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were eternally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you, and it has consumed you. And I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. Here, I believe God wants us to see the power behind the world's system, which is so seductive and evil and self-centered and self-focused and prideful. It's really here we're going to see the person behind it. And thus, we're going to see Lucifer's life story. We're going to see his sinless beginning, his grand privileges, his sinful fall, and then his eternal fate. Now, again, my heart here is not to proclaim Satan. We don't preach Satan, but we preach Christ. But God does reveal our enemy for a reason, and we need to understand it. But we need to recognize, as I mentioned earlier, those who talk about spiritual warfare. Well, yes, we're in a battle, but that battle is irrelevant if you don't know Christ. You're in the domain of darkness. You need to be saved. And if you do know Christ, we are protected if we obey him and trust him. And Satan even needs to get permission. We see that with Job. We even see that with Peter. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. And so we know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we're not to be fearful or scared, but God wants us to understand that our powerful enemy right now, who has great power and wisdom, evil wisdom, by the way, great power and wisdom, is a defeated foe, and he is eternally condemned and will be eternally judged. So notice we have Lucifer's sinless beginning. Verse 11, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And I read this, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, onyx, and the jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. This is a pretty magnificent statement concerning these things. Every jewel, gold, and these things, this is a pretty interesting thing. And I mentioned it already. He says, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre. Now, earlier, he was taking up a prophecy against the leader of Tyre. This is one clue to start to reveal to us that this is not speaking of merely that man who claimed to be God who was not. You know, there are interpreters and teachers who will say, this is not speaking of Satan. This is speaking of the king of Tyre. It says it right there. Well, yes, it does say that, but God takes that truth to point out that he's the power behind the king. And he points out here in this passage, as we will see, this is no man. We see multiple times he is called a covering cherub. That is an angel. That's not a man. We see he was created blameless. We know that no man or woman apart from Adam and Eve were blameless in birth. We're created in sin. This is not speaking of a man. This is speaking of Satan, as we will say. And we're going to see that throughout this. So why might God give us Lucifer's life story? Why might we see this? One, to gain understanding that, first of all, God is not responsible for his fall. God did not create evil. God did not plan evil, although he uses it in his sovereign hand to bring about his will, as we say. And within this, we're going to see from the information we gain how he might tempt us and try to deceive us. Indeed, he disguises himself as an angel of light. We can gain some understanding concerning his schemes. But we also need to know, because it can be discouraging sometimes as we're tempted. It can be discouraging as Satan tempts us to doubt the Lord, to doubt his goodness, to see things wrongly. It can be discouraging. We need to know that our foe is defeated. He is defeated. And we need not worry about him. We need not fear him. We need to trust the Lord. That's what we need to do. So notice our passage. Again, the word Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Now, we've seen this term lamentation before. It's like a funeral dirge. He's like, sing the funeral song concerning Satan, ultimately. He's saying he is as good as done. It's his free reign is over, basically. We've seen this before, right? It's like that funeral dirge, da, 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 da. He's over. He's saying, so we are to see it this way. We are to see our enemy as a defeated and condemned foe who is on his way to eternal destruction, as we'll say now, in punishment forever. Now notice, within this, we see that he was perfect when he was created. He says, Son of man, take up a lamentation, verse 12, over the king of Tyre, and say to him, so God is declaring to Satan himself, this is a funeral dirge about him, to him. He says here, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You're going to see a lot of past tense. You have, you were, you were, you were, you have. Remember that. Notice, Satan, when he was created, he was perfect. Verse 13 in the end, on the day that you were created. Verse 15, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. Satan is no God. He is a created being. As we'll see, he is a cherub. And we know that Christ is the one who brought about everything. We know that by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So Satan was created perfect, as we'll see, with no sin. And he had the seal of perfection. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is important because God is explaining, you know, and we'll see later on, you say, well, why did he create it? We start thinking, why did he create this? Why do we have this? What's going on? Well, certainly we know from Scripture that you can't love God apart from having a will, as we'll see. You know, we'll see later on, it talks about Satan's heart in a sense. In your heart was lifted up in Isaiah. You know, we see that this is a being. And God created him perfect. But he chose within his evil wickedness to fall, as we'll say. As we'll say. He had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom. Speaks of abundant wisdom. Now we know in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But God gave him that when he created him. And then notice, the text goes on to describe you were in Eden, the garden of God. So here we have a reference to Satan in God's perfect garden, Eden. Eden means delight, and garden speaks of an enclosure. The delightful enclosure. If you want to say the garden, that's what it means, the delightful enclosure. And it was made for man, for Adam and Eve, as we see in Genesis chapter 2. Now, something interesting to note was that when God created this world, the heavens and the earth, Satan had not fallen yet. He had not fallen yet. We have in Job chapter 38, verse 4, when God is reproving Job, Job has become prideful. God has exposed that arrogance and pride that Job thinks he needs an explanation from God. And God is graciously reproving him, and Job does repent. And God says, "And where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Job 38:4. "Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements since you know? Or who stretched out the line on it? Or on what where its base is sunk? Or who laid it by its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." We see the morning stars as a parallel, and the parallels think sons of God speak of angels. And we see later on in Genesis, there were fallen angels called sons of God. Okay, but here, all of them sang for joy. Evidently, Satan had not fallen when the earth was created, and he was in the garden. Now, we know there were certainly other cherubim that would be in the garden. God would appoint the cherubim to guard with flaming swords the garden so a man couldn't come back in. We see that, right? So he was in the garden. Now, we know that sometime, obviously, he fell within that time being in the garden. Because by the time he comes in as the serpent, tempting Eve, he has fallen. So at some time, after Adam and Eve were created in the garden, Satan fell. That's when he fell. Now, he was in the heavenlies. We know that was his place. You know, but yet he came and was in the garden, we see. We know that Satan will be thrown down, as we'll see later in our passage, that he was thrown down, but yet he has access to heaven. But we know in Revelation chapter 12, he will be permanently thrown down, cast down in the middle of the tribulation. So here, he was in the garden, perfect in wisdom and beauty, perfect. We don't understand perfection, folks. We don't understand. We do understand beauty. We understand gold and jewels and things like that. We understand that, but we don't understand perfection. We understand the beauty. Notice he says here, verse 13, "Every precious stone was your covering." Every one. Not a few, but every type of precious stone. Every type. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, lapis lazuli, and the turquoise, and the emerald. Before his fall, he was clothed with precious stones. That was his covering. His covering was precious stones, it says here. Now, if you know anything about precious stones, they are beautiful. But they are only beautiful in the light. If you take a precious stone and you're in a dark room, there is no beauty to it at all.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Yes, we have, Dave. And the reality is we've just seen the beginning of Lucifer's life story, which has to do with him being created sinless. But yet, as we know, he will fall. So with this in mind, stay tuned for our next two broadcasts where we'll continue to reveal Lucifer's life story.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.